This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Eliminate bags under your eyes in minutes with Instantly Ageless from GCNLife.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Former special counsel Robert Mueller largely answering with yes or no at the first of two hearing appearances on Capitol Hill today before the House Judiciary Committee. He's asked about whether his report exonerates President Trump on obstruction of justice, and he says no, it doesn't.
And your investigation actually found, quote, multiple acts by the president that were capable of exerting undue influence over law enforcement investigations. Is that correct?
Correct.
Mueller there answering the question from the Democratic chairman of the panel, Jerry Nadler. Mueller will be going before the House Intelligence Committee later on today. The remaining nations in the Iran nuclear deal that the U.S. is no longer part of will be meeting in Vienna Sunday to discuss salvaging that agreement and easing sanctions on Iran. And this is USA Radio News.
Balance of nature, changing the world one life at a time.
I'm loving my balance of nature. Since I started, I have not gotten one cold. I kind of fight everything. I get a little tickled, but it goes away.
It's just amazing the difference I felt. I want you to know how much I appreciate the counseling and so forth and your attention to your people. I have been a pretty big advocate for the balance of nature. I don't know how many truck drivers have asked me, how in the heck do you keep going at 88, 89 years old? I said, balance of nature. If they want to really enjoy some good health, get on balance of nature.
Experience the balance of nature difference for yourself. For a limited time, you can receive a 30% discount and free shipping on your first preferred order of balance of nature. Call 800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com and use discount code USA.
The fight against Georgia's heartbeat abortion law heading in front of a judge, and the ACLU and Planned Parenthood have filed a lawsuit already against the bill, but now they've announced that they've filed an injunction in the hopes the judge will block the law from taking effect until the suit is considered. Mark Esper sworn in yesterday as the new Secretary of Defense. Supreme Court Justice Samuel Alito giving him the oath of office in the Oval Office, after which Esper thanked President Trump for bolstering the military.
Our military has made tremendous gains in recent years thanks to your leadership, and we stand ready today to take on any challenge. And while our soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines stand guard each and every day, we will ensure their families are well taken care of.
A piece of music history on the auction block, Lucille. The guitar of the late blues legend B.B. King will go up for bid in September. It's valued between $80,000 and $100,000. This is USA Radio News.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will more beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now, before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290.
The bill to extend the 9/11 Victims Compensation Fund through 2092, essentially making it permanent, finally gets passed by the Senate. That was the final legislative approval, and now it only needs the president's signature. Advocate and comedian John Stewart says the nation owes this to first responders who became ill after working at Ground Zero.
I'm hopeful that today begins the process of being able to heal without the burden of having to advocate.
The president expected to sign that bill on Friday. Reports are Puerto Rico's Governor Ricardo Rossello will resign today after more than a week of protests calling for him to step down. That after publication of messages between Rossello and his closest advisors, which included jokes about Hurricane Maria victims and homophobic comments. And getting late word that Theresa May has officially resigned as the British Prime Minister to make way for newly elected Boris Johnson. Delivering a speech at 10 Downing Street for the last time just minutes ago, May said she hopes for a Brexit that works for the whole United Kingdom. She had an audience with Queen Elizabeth this afternoon, local time in the UK, and tendered her resignation. During her speech, a protester shouted, "Stop Brexit," to which May said, "I think not." You can find us on usaradio.com for USA Radio News. I'm Chris Barnes.
Childhood is full of wonder, and we get the chance to relive it with our grandchildren every day. But imagine missing special moments with a grandchild or seeing them through cloudy vision. The Foundation Fighting Blindness can help by providing valuable information about diagnosing and treating AMD. Age-related macular degeneration is the leading cause of vision loss in people 55 and older, but it doesn't have to be. The Foundation Fighting Blindness is driving research and saving sight by providing information about diagnosing and treating AMD. Don't miss a moment of your grandchildren's youthful wonder because of poor vision. Learn more about vision-saving preventions and treatments. Call the Foundation Fighting Blindness today at 1-800-BLINDNESS for a free packet on reversing or managing AMD. Or go to the website fightblindness.org where you can find so much helpful information. Call 1-800-BLINDNESS today. That number again is 1-800-BLINDNESS or fightblindness.org.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. Stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. Better stop now. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. Better stop.
America, Bill Martinez here, 6 minutes after the top of the hour. Great to have you along with us, and this is the interview you have been waiting for. Molly Hemingway joins us now. We're going to be talking about their top-selling book, Justice on Trial, the Kavanaugh Confirmation, and the Future of the Supreme Court. Molly, welcome to the show. Good to have you with us.
Great to be here with you.
Well, I'll tell you, first of all, I cannot thank you enough. On behalf of our audience, I'm so grateful for all the great work that you and Carrie have put into this book, because after the train wreck of the Kavanaugh hearings, it was like it came, it went, and the people were left in the wake of the devastation brought to you by Dianne Feinstein and the Democratic Party.
That was why we wrote Justice on Trial. We thought that what happened last year was the most important thing that Americans went through, and that we needed to tell an accurate story because people rightly were concerned about the assault on justice and the assault on Justice Brett Kavanaugh, and we needed to have the facts out. We interviewed more than 100 people, including the president and members of the Supreme Court, members of the Senate, basically anyone who was involved in the confirmation process to get Kavanaugh confirmed. And we learned all these really interesting inside stories about what happened, but we also just were able to lay down the record of what definitively happened so that people have that record.
Well, she's a senior editor at The Federalist, Molly Hemingway, and she's been with us before on several occasions. Always great to have Carrie Severino with us, chief counsel and policy director of the Judicial Crisis Network, and she joins us now, too. Carrie, good to have you with us. How are you?
Great to be here. Thanks.
Well, let's talk about how you and Molly got together. She laid out the situation, and as I told her, Carrie, that the audience is so grateful for the great work that you guys have done, because after the hearings, we were just left in the wake of this devastation. We felt like we got ran over by a truck, and, you know, we were just kind of left out there in the freeway.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. As we've talked about this, we're worried that it was such a raw experience for people that maybe they just didn't want to relive it. But we're finding people have a real appetite for trying to figure out, okay, that was so horrible. That was horrible for our country. That was horrible for our public discourse. What happened there and how can we fix it? You know, and as we both were involved in it, Molly was a journalist covering it. I worked for the Judicial Crisis Network. We were one of the major groups advocating for his nomination. So we both really lived through it. Mm-hmm. And it seemed like a great team to be able to uncover those things. And I had a framework in which to view this. The Thomas hearings were something that was kind of everyone who lived through that. This started to bring back old memories of that. But I also remember what happened after his hearing, which is that even though when he was confirmed, people 2-1, men, women, black, white, believed him over Hill. Mm-hmm. There has been a decades-long campaign to reimagine that story. And so people are being told things that just aren't true about what happened at the time. And we wanted to make sure to get the facts out there so that could not happen again.
Well, Molly, as a representative of journalism and true journalists out there, we needed to have your voice and a return to some sense of reason, because as we've maintained on this show and often reported, that journalism it has abandoned its main reason to exist, and that's to document history. And
right. There's no reason to take political sides as the media did, not just participating in the confirmation effort or in stopping the confirmation effort, but in many ways kind of leading the charge. And we tell the story in Justice on Trial of one particular example of what that was like to live through, which is when the allegation comes out against Kavanaugh, Christine Blasey Ford claims that there are four witnesses to the event in question, and all four deny any knowledge or memory of what she described. And in one of the cases, one of the four is her lifelong close friend, Leland Kaiser. So the other people are saying, I don't know what she has this, you know, I don't know what she's talking about. Once her close friend, you know, who's still a friend, who is a political liberal, who does not want Kavanaugh in the court, says, I don't know what she's talking about, I don't remember, the Kavanaugh family just breathes a huge sigh of relief because they think finally the right. media coverage will have to change. And not only did it not change, they barely even mentioned the fact that Leland Kaiser had said that she didn't remember this event that her friend described. And that just shows how the media can manipulate things by what they cover and what they choose not to cover.
Well, Carrie, as an attorney yourself, I mean, the legal process was worked, was it not?
Yeah, that was something that was really discouraging, because due process is a core American value, and it's in the Bill of Rights that we guarantee due process to those who are accused, but it goes deeper than that. We talk about that a little in Justice on Trial, how this is a value that goes well before our own Constitution and is really just fundamental to having a rule of law process that works, knowing that you can't just accuse someone with no justification and then ruin their lives as a result. And it was something that we wanted to come across clear. And then we wanted to highlight those people who did a particularly good job also of reminding people of due process. And there's a lot of those stories, but I think a couple that stand out for me are Rachel Mitchell, the prosecutor who was hired by the Judiciary Committee to question Blasey Ford and really who viewed her job, to the disappointment of some, not as trying to get gotcha moments and right. catch her in things, but to just let's get the facts out there, because that never happened. That's supposed to be step one in a criminal investigation or any investigation. Obviously, it wasn't in court, but it's dealing with things that would be crimes. And let's find out what the facts are. She really did that systematically, and that was incredibly helpful and was influential to another person who we thought showed real commitment to the rule of law, and that's Susan Collins, who mm-hmm. wanted to withhold judgment, not just jump on one team or another, but say, let's find out what happened here and not do it just on these gut emotional reactions, which is how it was all being played in the media, of who do you care about more? Do you care about his family or you care about her family? No. Let's look at the facts. And that was something that Collins was very committed to doing, and I think showing through in her amazing speech on the Senate floor as well.
Molly, as far as the media was concerned, was that too nuanced for the media, because it just wasn't so much in your face? I mean, for somebody that had some understanding of the legal process, you could appreciate the questioning and the wisdom of the Senate to say, look, let's not have individuals, let's have a third party and somebody who could go through the process, though it was tedious. But there was, I think, some significant nuance and important, questioning that had to take place, as Carrie pointed out. What did you think about that?
There was nuance, and there were complications, but I actually don't think that's a good excuse for why the media behaved the way they did. From the moment, I mean,
one of the things we lay out in Justice on Trial is how things get crazy right away. And you might recall that you had media outlets running stories about supposed Kavanaugh scandals, like that he had bought season tickets for baseball on his credit card. You know, they were being pretty hostile from the beginning, right. Even if it kind of came off as absurd. But then it gets into, I mean, first of all, these are reporters who have covered Senate processes for a long time. They know all these things, or they could have talked to people. We spoke with Senate staffers who explained how they would tell a reporter, oh, you're getting this wrong, here's the actual process, and the reporter was just not interested.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you, too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Let me ask you something. What are you doing when you put money in a 401k or IRA, or store jumper cables in your vehicle, or purchase health insurance? You're preparing. You're preparing to ensure you have enough money for retirement. You're preparing for when your car battery dies, or to have assistance paying a major unexpected medical bill. That all makes sense. The same goes for building a food storage plan. You're preparing for when emergencies or disasters strike and shelves go empty at your grocery store. The best way to prepare is with My Patriot Supply. They've helped a million hardworking Americans become more self-sufficient. My Patriot Supply sells hundreds of items, including dozens of emergency food kits, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It could be an earthquake, a cyber attack freezing our banking system, or a disaster that shuts down our power grid for weeks. For all these emergencies and more, get your supplies and prepare today at MyPatriotSupply.com. No more rushing to find empty store shelves because you're too late. Do it now so you're ready. MyPatriotSupply.com.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-959-5759. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-959-5759. That's 1-800-959-5759. 1-800-959-5759.
The Genesis Communications Network is one of America's premier broadcasters of captivating talk radio. We thank you for listening. Now, just imagine, there are thousands of people who are just as passionate about radio as you are. But what you may not realize is how easy and affordable it is to advertise with us. Radio commercials for your business could be heard on hundreds of radio stations across the U.S. every day. We can help you by creating an effective radio advertising campaign for your company. From script writing to producing your commercial, just like the one you're listening to right now. No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
From Maine to Oregon and SoCal to Florida, Bill Martinez live.
Hey, we're back with you, fresh and independent, just the way you like to hear from us. 19 minutes after the top of the hour, a conversation with Molly Hemingway, senior editor at The Federalist and Fox News contributor. Carrie Severino, chief counsel and policy director of the Judicial Crisis Network, is the definitive reporting analysis on the confirmation of Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh. It's based on news-breaking interviews of more than 100 people, including the President of the United States, several Supreme Court justices, high-ranking White House Department of Justice officials, and dozens of senators. Carrie, I got to imagine, as you are interviewing, you know, including the president, and you're saying, hey, Molly Hemingway and I, we're coming together, we're going to write this book on Justice on Trial. I know you've got some cooperation, but there were some that said, hey, look, I'll tell you, but I don't want to be, I don't want my name to show up here.
This is the challenge when you have such incredible access we have. There, you also have to then respect the privacy of some of the people who are involved, and it's from people who this was part of their job doing it, to people who are part of that community in Chevy Chase, where the Kavanaughs and the Blasey still live,
right,
and didn't want to have people attacking them, as we know they did to many of the people who supported Judge Kavanaugh. So that was really one of the, it's another of the stories we tell in Justice on Trial, of some of the people who stood up for him and then were attacked, where people were trying to get them fired for their jobs. And it was really a mark of courage to be willing to stand up for someone under those circumstances.
Well, Molly, again, for you as a journalist in this information age in which we live in, the news and journalism has been under attack because there seems to be a kind of a loose understanding about anonymous reporting, right?
Well, that has been a problem that has grown in recent years. You do work with anonymous sources all the time as a reporter, but you want to make sure that their stories check out. And you want to also make sure that when people make allegations against someone, that causes real reputational damage. So you don't want to just, if someone says something about somebody, you don't just want to run with it. And this, what we saw with the Kavanaugh confirmation, was a whole rollout of slurs and allegations. One reporter admitted that she ran with a story that was widely criticized as lacking evidence to support it because she wanted to show a pattern of bad behavior by Brett Kavanaugh. Well, that's not what journalists are supposed to do. You're not supposed to show a pattern. You're just supposed to report the facts. Yeah. And if you don't have the facts, that's important to note, too.
Mm-hmm. Carrie, some people have questioned this whole situation with Brett Kavanaugh. This thing, what kind of vetting did he go through? I mean, the president had already, even before he became president, told everybody, hey, here's my list of, potential nominees I'm looking at. So it was already out there. But from what your book reported, there is quite the review that takes place. You don't first get on the list and then you get onto a short list without having gone through some sort of scrutiny, right?
Oh, absolutely. In the case of Brett Kavanaugh, it was even amazing because even before he was going through the process to be on the short list here, he had been through 6 background checks. This is someone who had clearances at the top level. So you're dealing with someone who, already going into the process, everyone had a real sense of, what was in his background. They knew that here's someone who's lived his life in the public eye. There's not a lot of stuff that we haven't found. We also tell the story, in Justice on Trial, of several of the previous nominations and what we learned from them. One, for example, that often gets forgotten about, Doug Ginsburg in the 80s. He followed Robert Bork and had his nomination scuttled because it came out that he had smoked marijuana with some of the students he was teaching while at Harvard Law School. And that led to now nominees all getting what we call the SDR, the Sex, Drug, and Rock and Roll survey, effectively. Mm-hmm. The White House counsel has to sit down and really quiz them on every possible thing they've done that could raise issues for the nomination. So Brett Kavanaugh had also been through that level of scrutiny. So he really had been questioned every level. That was one of the reasons it came so out of left field to everyone, obviously, including himself.
Molly, Dr. Ford, on the other hand, this seemed, as this came out rather conveniently, it almost, and Carrie could probably address this part in terms of exculpatory evidence and that sort of thing, things were withheld by Dianne Feinstein, but it was almost like she was manufactured. Did you have that sense in your reporting?
Well, no. I mean, partly we just kind of go through the whole saga. There definitely was public relations manipulation of her story, but it was, you know, she claimed she didn't want to talk to, didn't want to have her name associated with anything and didn't want any publicity. One of the first calls she makes is to the Washington Post tip line. And that is not typical behavior for someone right. who wants to keep something under wraps. She goes to her senator and her congresswoman, and they, instead of reporting this to the authorities or going through the normal Senate procedure for handling such allegations, they circumvent that process and instead hook her up with a well-known, high-profile Democratic attorney known for running basically public relations campaigns for her clients. So this was, there was a lot of shadiness, but the, you know, we do talk to people who knew Blasey Ford, knew her in high school, and they report that, yes, the image that you got of her in the media was at odds with what they knew. They had, you know, pretty complex views of her. They enjoy her. They like her. They thought she was nice. They knew she was highly political, that she was, you know, as one person put it, had a crazy Facebook page in terms of her anti-Trumpism. And also that, you know, she had a different childhood than the one that the Washington Post and other media outlets were describing. She was known, for heavy drinking and for her aggressive or her aggression in a way that was not conveyed in the way that people were writing about her.
Well, Carrie, supposedly she also did a lot to erase her social media footprint, did she not?
That's right. I mean, this is one of the things that happened early on, it seems, is that her social media screens were wiped. And this is something, this is not just, oh, I closed my Twitter account and my Facebook account. This was professionally done. This was really effective. And it meant that public relations shop that was running this was able to really control what we knew about her, including their, again, as Molly alluded to, they were saying this is someone who's, oh, maybe mildly political, but that was really at odds with what people would have seen if they saw her Facebook page, and we had talked to people who were familiar with that page. So it just goes to the kind of efforts to really craft a narrative around her rather than actually telling an accurate story, and unfortunately, few people were curious enough to really dig into what these things were and just took a lot of the talking points of her handlers and her team at face value.
Molly is a journalist, and now the book has been released, and the reaction has been sensational. Here it is, a best-selling book on Amazon, and that when you consider all the work that you and Carrie put together in this, what is the most rewarding part for you?
Absolutely the reception to it. We did put a lot of work into it. We put our lives on hold basically for several months while we both put everything into reporting this story accurately. And we knew it was important to us, but seeing how important it is to other people, I mean, it was, you know, it's been at the top of Amazon all week since we released it. And we're hearing from so many people who are thanking us for reporting it, thankful for how we reported it and the job we did, and knowing that other, you know, just knowing you're in this with other people and that other people felt what happened to the country last year was not to be repeated is very validating.
And unfortunate, the mainstream media has not, you know, been open to interview either one of you, right?
Well, it's really remarkable that we're at number one and that we're topping these charts, given that we have received almost no even interaction with many media outlets. But that was part of why people were so frustrated. They saw how things were manipulated during the story. But I hope that at some point we will be able to talk more with people. Yes, we are critical of some media outlets in there, and I'm sure that is uncomfortable for them to have to address their wrongdoing, but it's the best thing for them, and it's the best thing for the country to be able to address these things and move forward.
Carrie, got about 30 seconds left. The biggest surprise for you?
Oh, wow. We learned so many new things. I think for me it was learning the depth of the coordination the Democrats had, including down to what Blasey Ford was wearing to the hearings. They were trying to evoke parallels to Anita Hill. So that was shocking to see. Mm-hmm. We suspected it, but to get evidence of that.
Makes you wonder what's next, right? Molly Hemingway, senior editor at The Federalist and Fox News contributor. Carrie Severino, chief counsel, policy director of the Judicial Crisis Network. Their book, Justice on Trial.
Looking for high-speed internet where you live but are out of reach of cable and fiber options? Look no further. High-speed internet is now available in your area as your local authorized HughesNet retailer, Whole Home Connect, makes it easy to get the high-speed internet you need with blazing fast speeds, unlimited data with no hard data limits, with built-in Wi-Fi for as little as $2 a day. Act now and for a limited time, get free standard installation and free equipment with HughesNet from Whole Home Connect. You'll enjoy internet service that lets you do more of everything you want to do online, like shopping, surfing, and staying in touch. Call Whole Home Connect and see for yourself why HughesNet is America's number one choice for satellite internet.
800-696-6902. 800-696-6902. 800-696-6902. That's 800-696-6902.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Former special counsel Robert Mueller largely answering with yes or no at the first of two hearing appearances on Capitol Hill today before the House Judiciary Committee. He's asked about whether his report exonerates President Trump on obstruction of justice, and he says no, it doesn't.
And your investigation actually found, quote, multiple acts by the president that were capable of exerting undue influence over law enforcement investigations. Is that correct?
Correct.
Mueller there answering the question from the Democratic chairman of the panel, Jerry Nadler. Mueller will be going before the House Intelligence Committee later on today. The remaining nations in the Iran nuclear deal that the U.S. is no longer part of will be meeting in Vienna Sunday to discuss salvaging that agreement and easing sanctions on Iran. And this is USA Radio News.
Money, 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 money. You gotta have it. When you need it, what do? If you don't have a rich uncle, call LendingTree. With us, hundreds of banks compete for your business, so you'll get loans with competitive interest rates, and in some cases, with no closing costs. So here's the deal. If you need money, call us. Do you want to refinance your current loan? Are you 62 or older and interested in a reverse mortgage? Then call LendingTree now. 800-634-1315. 800-634-1315. We've closed over $250 billion in loans. We know what we're doing and can help you. Call right now for a free quote. 800-634-1315. 800-634-1315. 800-634-1315. That's 800-634-1315. NMLS number 1136.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
It's our money, right? And why not be on the right track and make the most of it? Would that be possible in this political world? Well, Dr. Lauren Wright joins us now. She is an associate research scholar and lecturer at the Woodrow Wilson School and Department of Politics at Princeton University. Dr. Wright, welcome to the show. How are you?
Oh, thanks so much for having me. I'm great.
Hey, great to have you here. We got lots to talk about. Obviously, a lot about Mueller. You said that it was a risky strategy for Democrats. Chris Wallace over the weekend was saying, I hope it's not a dud. But I'll tell you, and even recently he made the comment that this has been a disaster so far, what we've seen for the Democrats and for Mueller.
Yes, I agree. This is overall bad for Democrats. And the first reason being, which, you know, we knew decades ago, is just that when voters, when the public watches these type of events that we imagine to be high impact, it's just not true that they change minds. If you went into it thinking the investigation was, you know, should not have happened and that it was unfair to the president, you still think that. Mm-hmm. And if you went into it thinking that the president was completely implicated by this and engaged in illegal activity, you still believe that. So
exactly.
It's really, when I say high risk, it's just an opportunity for Democrats to make mistakes or for, you know, congressional representatives to make fools of themselves and to not really change any perceptions. I don't think it was good for Democrats, and I don't think it was good for Republicans.
Well, and to your point, I mean, look at the polling on this. a majority of Americans, over 50%, have said, let's move on already. You know, there is a fork in this thing. Right. Yeah. So let's move on. But, you know, 25 million all total, maybe about $65-70 million have been spent of the people's money. And this involves the investigations by the House, by the Senate, and the special prosecution. So you add up all those dollars, and what do we have?
Well, I mean, technically, Mueller did recover enough money to wash out the public costs. Mm-hmm. However, there is that perception that that was very costly for taxpayers, and that's really all that matters sometimes when you're talking about American politics. And so what's tough about this as a polling question and an election issue, it's just a big jump for people to make to say, you know, this investigation matters for my life, my kids' lives, our day-to-day lives, jobs, how we survive. You know, most people are not thinking about constitutional issues when they go to the ballot box. They're thinking about issues that affect their lives every day, and the Mueller investigation does rank very low on that list of priorities.
Well, and to your point, okay, some of the money's been redeemed, but we lost time. I mean, instead of having as I said at the initial introduction, you know, for our segment here, to get this country back on track, if we had a little bit of agreement and we weren't so bogged down on this this political issue, which you're saying, and I agree with you, matters little to, the kitchen table issues across the country. You know, where would we be? Our GDP right now is 3.2. We'd be looking at 4. Would we have solved, the trade problems and already gotten approval with the Democrats for the USMCA, some European trade deals sewn up, Japan, and on our way to even, be closer in finalizing a trade agreement with China? Is our time better spent there, to your earlier statement, as opposed to, this exercise?
Well, I mean, probably not. I think we've learned that when you give government time, they don't always use it wisely, and that's certainly true of Congress. However, the reason a sitting president cannot be indicted, the reason presidents do have special privileges that are frustrating to a lot of people and seem unfair and often are, is because the founders did not want distracted presidents. They thought that was a national security risk. Now, I don't think this is the only thing distracting President Trump, but the law is the way it is because the founders wanted presidents concentrated on the health and safety of the United States, and that's why they can get away with more than the average citizen. That's the way the government is structured. I think this investigation absolutely needed to happen. But with that said, you're in an election year. It did have a result, and now Americans do want to move on.
Do we, what I'm hearing over and over, Lauren, is, people are saying to me, going, wait a minute, are we paying attention? I mean, we're saying pretty much conclusively, according to the Mueller report, that the Russians were heavily involved. It was a wide-range systematic program in which they instituted in the interference of our election process. Have we solved that problem? Are we addressing this problem? Because this happened on President Obama's watch, and now it's President Trump, and it's almost like it's going to be President Trump's fault all over again if there's any interference whatsoever. But we know, and I mean, let's be real about this, whether it's the Russians, the Chinese, North Koreans, I mean, this is what countries do. They mess around with people's election process, of which the United States has been guilty of doing the same.
Well, look, I mean, yes, I hope that the president puts this on the top of his list. It would be really unfortunate if he thought that it would benefit him not to. And I don't think it benefits him, first of all, to, you know, to spew the talking point that Russia didn't matter. I mean, so, yes, Russia interfered. We know that. They happened to be unsuccessful at interfering. The president did win fair and square, as far as we know. There's been research on the fact that even though Russians flooded the airwaves, or the internet, rather, with ads, they didn't change voter perceptions. You know, I don't think it's it's helpful to the president to deny the involvement altogether. They're a hostile foreign adversary. They do not want good things for the United States, and we need to take that extremely seriously as a national security threat, and I hope the president sees it that way rather than politically.
Well, I agree. I think that if he's really true and sincere about his desire that no other president would go through this, it might be prudent of him to, at his rallies right now, talk about what his administration has done in order to protect the integrity of or to, you know, block the interference of future Russian antics, don't you think?
Absolutely. I mean, I wish Republicans would you know, work on the substantive issues and talk about the substantive issues and the substantive successes that have happened in recent years. But again, you know, President Trump needs to take on the perspective that Russian interference didn't help him. He won on his own. Mm-hmm. And the results, as far as we can tell, would have been the same on average if there was no Russian interference. So I wish he would stop conflating the two. I wish he would stop the personal attacks. I mean, I have a laundry list of things I could say I wish he didn't do. Mm-hmm. But I do think it would benefit Republicans interested in his reelection to get him focused on the economy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what most presidents say when they're trying to be reelected, if they're in no major wars at the time, they emphasize that. And they emphasize the economy. It's economic health and national security, and that's what incumbent presidents normally focus on. But he's taken the conversation in a very different direction, and, you know, he believes that stoking racial resentment among his base will help him get reelected. And I think that's a very unsafe bet and an unfortunate belief, but it is part of his strategy.
Well, I want to get into that in the second segment here in just a moment. But suffice it to say, you say normal presidents. This is not a normal presidency by no means.
Right.
And on one hand, the other hand is how many people, just regular human beings, you or myself, could withstand the onslaught of obviously biased media, and on top of that, a presidency, you know, as you say, I think all of us hope that, yes, this was all, you know, legit, and to have that come into question, I got to imagine this would weigh on anybody, no matter what their position. We've got more from Dr. Lauren Wright after this. Stay with us. Are you making payments on high-interest credit cards in your mortgage but feel like you aren't making a dent? If you're like most homeowners, you're getting a ton of calls to refi, but no one can help you save money, right? You're in luck. Our friends at Network Capital help their clients save on their debt payments an average of $528 a month. That's right. Refi those debts and you could save an average of $528 a month. That's over $6,300 a year, which could also improve your FICO scores. Call 800-700-8068 now. Network Capital Funding Corporation is a direct lender, and their process is fast, simple, and secure. We urge you to call our friends at Network Capital now. 800-700-8068. Can you imagine what you could do with an extra $528 a month? Give them a call right now. 800-700-8068. That's 800-700-8068. Not licensed in all states. NMLS ID number 11712. Visit NMLSConsumerAccess.org. Licensed by the California Department of Business Oversight under the Finance Lender Law number 603D78. An equal housing lender subject to credit approval.
This message is sponsored by AmeriGlide, featuring the nation's best prices on a home stair lift. Are you having a difficult time getting around your home? Do you avoid going up and down the stairs? Have you even considered moving from your lifelong home just to avoid the stairs? Forget about moving and call AmeriGlide and learn how an easy-to-install stair lift is the perfect solution to help you get your freedom back. Plus, we guarantee the nation's best prices. Make this free call today to learn more. No sales visits are necessary. We can help you over the phone. Now you can stay in the home you've been in for decades. Please do yourself or your loved one a favor. Make this simple two-minute call right now. Get the lowest price on a stair lift anywhere. Here's the number. 800-296-1434. 800-296-1434. 800-296-1434. That's 800-296-1434.
When you have a pain in the neck, a real pain in the neck, back, shoulder, or legs, you now have two convenient choices to get fast relief without taking another pill. Because now, Sunny Bay heating wraps and pillows are available at both Amazon and Walmart. Yes, see Sunny Bay's 4.5 to 5-star customer reviews on Amazon.com or Walmart.com. Our microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body wraps are designed better for perfect support where and when you need it. Even while driving, Sunny Bay wraps will not burn and stay balanced to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to help treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part, Sunny Bay quality products start at under $20. Join thousands of happy customers and see why Sunny Bay products have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. It's easy. Click Amazon or Walmart and search today for Sunny Bay.
The Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau d'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, the Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau d'Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau d'Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at ShopSuperTea.com or call 818-984-6100. That's ShopSuperTea.com, 818-984-6100. ShopSuperTea.com.
Every single day, promoting truth. Bill Martinez live.
You are the air I breathe. You are the song I
breathe. Welcome back, America. Bill Martinez here. 14 minutes before the top of the hour, a conversation with Dr. Lauren Ride continues. She's an associate research scholar and lecturer at the Woodrow Wilson School and Department of Politics at Princeton University. Lauren, I tell you, like you, I am concerned with, you know, this latest explosion that's taken place between the four women of color, the congresswomen, Democratic congressmen, women who have embraced socialism, and some, you know, radical views in it, and they have been disturbing. There's no doubt about it. We had an incredible week leading into the tweets that Donald Trump released a couple of weekends ago. Here we are. We come off our 243rd birthday of our own independence of this country. And, boy, no sooner than that, Betsy Ross flag is no longer acceptable. All this vitriol about, patriotism, American history, comes back into view, and it seems to really have been focused on these four women. And I, like you, I am concerned that because the president, in part, his statement, his text, was taken a little bit out of context. They took the first part of the statement about if you don't like it here, then go home. The second part is constantly omitted, even by conservative reporters, which I am surprised, because in reporting the truth and the whole truth and nothing but, it bothers me when things are taken out of context. I don't know. How do you feel about that?
I don't think it was taken out of context. The criticism is fair. I mean, the words were there, whether you quote the whole thing or part of it. And I have seen the whole tweet read and laid out many times in full. The words were there, and it's inexcusable as far as I'm concerned. And the attention that's negative, that's being aimed at him, I think was earned. And, mm-hmm. and it should be there. We should be talking about this.
Mm-hmm. Is it earned on both sides?
Yes. I mean, but he did instigate this when, as he has said in other instances, there's plenty to attack about the policy substantive that is about, are we heading in the direction of socialism? Do you think that the Green New Deal is feasible? Do you think Medicare for all is a good idea? Those are issues where most Americans agree that we're not quite ready for that, and that it can't be implemented with the resources that we have right now. But instead, he's made this personal. He's dredged up some of the ugliest parts of our history. And I think it's a shame. It's embarrassing. And, I wish that instead of digging in, he would apologize and move on and focus on the policy.
I agree from that standpoint. On the other part, with AOC referring to what's going on at the border as concentration camps, do you see that as extreme?
Yes, and I think politicians, AOC and Donald Trump, need to own the language that they use. So comparing the border to the Holocaust is very offensive to many Americans for legitimate reasons, and that's her fault when she uses language like that and the public reacts. It's also the president's fault, and I think it's worse, by the way, and it should be said, but it's similarly his fault when he uses a racial anti-immigrant slur that's been, it's been the underbelly of our culture that we're trying to move past for many, many decades.
Mm-hmm.
They both are responsible for the words that they use.
Well, there's no question. I think this is a holistic issue, and many that, as you and I talked about another example, is that when we look at the race relationships, for all that we have experienced, again, no one in one iota of a moment is claiming any kind of perfection here. Our history is our history, the good, bad, the ugly of it all. But look at where we've been and how far we've come. I think we have an opportunity, as you say, to responsibly report these things or discuss these things in a way that are respectable, that reach for a higher level of discourse. But to play the race card on either side, I am critical of Nancy Pelosi as well, because I think that Nancy Pelosi missed an opportunity where she could have, when she spent all this time twisting her logic and how she was going to make a statement to get a resolution against the statements that were made by Ilhan Omar, but instead it just comes out to be a homogenized hate statement, a generalized deal, as opposed to calling out an individual for the statements. And to your point, I think if we're going to get beyond it, we need to be able to call these things out in the interest of, our First Amendment right, and also understanding what the higher ideal is, so that if somebody, particularly whether it is the president or any elected official, is saying something that is out of line, then, we need to see a penalty flag or somebody calling him into account to say, hey, if we're going to stop this, we have to call it as quickly as possible. We can't allow this to run on. So I'm not saying the president, scoots any responsibility of anything. He should have a higher level of responsibility, because he is the president of the United States, after all, is he not?
Yes. He is the president of the United States. He's the single focal point of power on the globe. He's the most powerful person on earth. And he does have a responsibility to the public to hold himself to a very high standard. And the squad and AOC and Ilhan Omar, I always tell people it's important to remember these are four individual congresswomen who lack really any power except for their committee assignments and the votes that they have. And they're four votes, Nancy Pelosi says. So the amount of media attention that they receive is really orthogonal to the institutional power they have, which is very little.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I think the president, who is just he's at the top as far as power in the world. It's really abhorrent, the sorts of things that come out of his mouth, and I cringe.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem is, when something is said that's racist or sexist, people go into their partisan camps, and if it's someone who said it that they agree with and they like, then it's okay, and they make excuses. And if it's someone they don't like, then they pile on. And partisanship needs to not be part of the equation here.
if we're going to get beyond this, what I sense, this is my sense, Lauren, and talking to people all across the country, is that they're fed up with this stuff. You know, they're fed up with the racism. They're, all this anti-American stuff. It's almost like, I was in L.A. during, the Rodney King riots, and everything was going on. Rodney King came out afterwards and says, why can't we just get along? And it's almost, I'm just hearing the echo of his heart, just saying, hey, look it, why throw bricks at people? Why go through all, verbal bricks as well as literal bricks at people, doing all these riots and everything like that? Why can't we just get along and understand that this great American experiment, what the U.S. Constitution has laid out for us, I just think it's an awesome document, and the goal that our founding fathers had for each one of us is a high calling. And you imagine if we're living out most of that, and I can hear in part, with Ilhan Omar, even though she at times speaks disparagingly about the country, she's right in some parts. I mean, we're humanoids, we're not perfect, and I would much rather see her energies in supporting things to improve areas, not necessarily just downgrading the country, because I think, along the same way as it does for the president, it blunts the effectiveness of the message. If that's what she wants to communicate, if she wants to communicate a message of healing and a better American experiment and a better American way of life, I'll give you a platform. I'll be there. I'll support you. But if it's just to bring us down and bring entry to another form of government that disposes of what we've celebrated for 243 years, I'm a little challenged to go along with that.
Yes, and there's also a really interesting dynamic here, and I'll just go ahead, Bill, and give myself a shameless book plug.
Yes. I know you've written two books, and you got one coming, and they said, hey, we're gonna set it to you. So go ahead. We got a minute and a half, so
have at it. I feel bad for your viewers. Anyway, so the book that came out today is about celebrities who run for elective office, and Trump has this in common with these freshman congresswomen. It's very interesting, and what you can see when people who have never held elective office before come into office, the way that they campaign that gets them elected is very different than the skill set that's required to govern effectively, and what's required to govern effectively, and Nancy Pelosi is very much in this line of thought, is tone down the language, learn how to compromise, watch, learn, respect experts, and know you can't be ideological all the time and you can't do behaviorally extreme things. Mm-hmm. And that's something that Trump has in common with the squad.
I think Bill Maher recommended that a while ago to the girls. And hey, look, you might be better served if you listened more than spoke.
Yeah, that's right.
Just saying. Well, I look forward to having you back on so we can talk about your new book, and I'll get my hands on it. Looking forward to reading that as well. And Dr. Lauren Wright, I'm Bill Martinez, live associate research scholar and lecturer at the Woodrow Wilson School and Department of Politics at Princeton University. Lauren, thank you so much for being with us. Have a great day.
Thanks, Bill.
You got
you
it. Bye-bye.
Do you own a timeshare? Well, you probably now realize it wasn't a good idea, and the financial strain it's putting on you and your family has you stressed, and you probably think there's no way out. This is Steve Sanchez, and you know I've been an advocate for hardworking Americans just like you for 27 years, and there's a way out of this financial nightmare, and my friends at Wesley Financial, the leading timeshare cancellations company in the country, can help you cancel your timeshare guaranteed. Being lied to, misled, and pressured into buying a timeshare doesn't have to be your story. But freedom of being out of it can be. I have a special free information kit that will give you the step-by-step process that Wesley Financial uses to get you out of your timeshare guaranteed. Call 1-800-501-6100. That's 1-800-501-6100 or visit stevesanchez.info. You don't have to have the financial nightmare of a timeshare any longer. Wesley Financial can help you get out guaranteed. Call 1-800-501-6100.